Thank you. Good morning. This topic that, or this message that I have this morning is first time I'm preaching on this one here. I have looked at it before, but it's kind of surprised what I found when I dug into this one word. And the word was abomination. And it connected with me when we were talking about faith in God. The word abomination is found 113 times in the scriptures. But the part that I want to focus on is abomination to the Lord. There's a lot of things that are abomination to a people group. It talks about that in Genesis, what were abomination to the Egyptians. It gives a lot of what's abomination to people, but the part I wanted to focus on, what's an abomination to God. And what impressed me this morning when we were talking about faith is, you know, faith in God. Now, what's his character? And what is his inner being? And that's what I wanted to focus on this morning is knowing the heart of God. Now, I know this is knowing the heart of God. A lot of it is on the things he don't like. But if you go into Proverbs, which majority of these verses are found in two books, that it was in Deuteronomy and Proverbs. There's a few more, but that's where the bulk of the verses are. So when I started pulling out all the verses as abominations of the Lord, I'll admit I was surprised what I found. Some of them I did not know. So what I did is I just took all the verses that talks about abomination to the Lord. And my purpose of this is to understand the heart of God. And I know that it is easy to, or it was given to me numerous times already, that you can't really go in the Old Testament. Well, what I'm doing here is I'm looking at the character who God is, how he processes things. I don't think there's a difference between the Old and New Testament, who he really is. Yes, he might operate different, but the core of him, I believe, is the same. So some of these we might know how to apply to us. Some might be difficult, because I found some that was like, okay, now how do I walk this one out? And I'll bring that out later. So the Strong Concordance, one of the meanings of the word abomination was a disgusting thing. In Webster's, some of the definitions are something regarded with disgust or hatred, extreme disgust and hatred. So it's in that area where we could maybe open up and say, what's abomination to you? But I don't think I'm going to try to figure out what's abomination to each other here, because I don't have time for that. I don't know if I'll get done by 12 or not, but we'll see once. Starting in Deuteronomy 7:25, a lot of these we're going to try to have on the screen. Matt got my notes here, so he's going to try to keep the verses on the screen there. And Deuteronomy 7:25, and you shall burn the curved images of your gods with fire. And you shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. The money that was on the graven image, God said, get rid of it, because that money will be a snare to you. Now, what was he saying that we can apply to us today? And basically, I just started analyzing the world around us. And there are several things that I have noticed that if a person grabs a hold of it, it becomes a snare to them. One is a suitcase. If someone gets sued for, wins a lawsuit for a large amount of money, that money is often becomes a snare to that person. Another one is through lottery. Lottery is legal in today's society. But it becomes a snare to people. They take it. It is said that often when people win it, it destroys their life. That money is a snare to them. And I believe it was the same way here, that when God was talking to the children of Israel, that money, that was that gold and that silver that was gotten through the graven images, when they went in to destroy them, get rid of it, because that money will become a snare to you. And money can do that. Deuteronomy 17:1. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or a sheep that has any blemish or defect, for that is an abomination to the Lord your God. Now, how do we apply this today? I believe it's giving to God what is second best. Here, God was saying, you know, on your burnt offerings, bring something that is healthy, that has value. And it appears like it was a temptation to bring something that is going to die anyhow, that has no value. That was disgusting to God, to bring to God the things that had no value. So, what are we giving to God? Are we giving to God our leftovers? Or are we giving to God the things that have value? Going on to Deuteronomy 9 through 12. And when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not follow the abominations of these nations. For there shall not be found any one of you that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or soothsayers, or one who interprets omens, or sorcerers, and one that conjures spells, or medium, or spiritualist, or one that calls up the dead. For all who do these things are abominations to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God will drive them out from before you. The first part of that is making your sons and daughters pass through the fire. To me, this is identical to abortion. To me, this is modern day abortion. Abortion would be a modern day reflection of that. Because for some reason, which I don't know how a person could do this, but they could take their sons and daughters and run them through the fire. I know there are some other practices where they would have a statue with arms coming out, and those arms are red hot in fire, and they would place their child on those arms. I don't know how a person could do that when they're living. Today's society, it would be considered terrible to do that. In the eyes of God, I don't think abortion is any different. Then the rest goes into witchcraft, which I'm not going to expound too much on there because it's pretty self-explanatory. Going on to Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garments, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. When I look at this passage, I think there's something a whole lot deeper here than what just on clothing. And that is, when I look at the character of God, and I don't know if my concept is correct, but I'm going to just throw it out here. When I look at the character of God, I see one side to reflect. The man reflects, and I see the other side, a woman reflect. And I think in marriage, that union reflects the heart of God the best. And for some reason in our society today, we want to tear down the gender distinction. Like, for example, the things that are prevalent today is gay marriage. I believe what that is doing is destroying the image of who God is and saying, yeah, two men can live together and experience marriage. It's not possible. Because what marriage is a representation of is a man and a woman coming together to one, and that reflects the character of who God is. So two men cannot do that. Two women cannot do that. But a man and a woman can do that. And the warning that I see in here is in our whole society and breaking it down, the genders, the idea is to destroy the character of who, the image of who God is. And I'm amazed at when I view society, how many levels they're trying to break this down at. Now, this next part here is my opinion. I believe this breakdown starts at clothing. So my thing is, my encouragement to us here is, we should not build our foundation on what Satan is trying to do, but we should build our foundation on what is the heart of God. The heart of God is that there's a distinction between a man and a woman. And I believe that needs to be our foundation. What is the heart of God? It's disgusting to him when we try to mix the two, when we try to blur the lines. So my encouragement to us is, in the area of clothing, let's make a clear distinction between the two. What belongs to the woman or what belongs to the man? Because if we blur that line, it's disgusting. It's disgusting to God. And I'm not even going to go into what blurs the line. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into you, because the lines, they're all over the place. And to draw that line as a man that does not live with a woman, I'm not going to do that. But I believe the Holy Spirit will help you, that I want to encourage everyone here, as your families, let's not blur these lines. What are we teaching our next generation about blurring these lines through clothing? Now, this next one in Deuteronomy 23:18, this one here is one that I didn't see before. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vow offering, for both of these are abomination to the Lord your God. The part that got me when I read this is, what does the wages of a harlot and a price of a dog? In God's eyes, they're the same. Wow. I never saw that one before. I don't know what to do with that one. But I'm just bringing out what the Word of God says. And I would love to dig into this more sometime and understand. But in God's eyes, he's saying the price of a dog and what the harlot gets through her work, a prostitute, to him, he views as the same. I'll allow you go with what this is, because I'm not sure where to go with it. How does this apply to us today? I'm not sure. The part that I like to understand how those two intermingle in the heart of God. Going on to Deuteronomy 25:18-16. And this one here is found in quite a number of places. You should not have in your bag different weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house different measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord our God is giving you. For all who do such things and all who behave unrighteously are abomination to the Lord your God. This to me has to do with commerce. All of us in here, we're involved in some form or another of business. Either we work for someone or we have our own business. And basically it's saying, whatever you say it is, be honest. God hates when we're dishonest in our business. Here it was, you know, you're selling flour and you You say you're selling a pound and you cut it down to 14 ounces. For me, I build buildings. What I contract to my customer, is that what I build or do I shortchange them? You can shortchange customers and they never know it. It's pretty easy to do. But I'm telling you, that is an abomination to short sell. If you look at more other scriptures, you should intentionally be the opposite. That whatever you committed to sell, stack an extra on top. That's the heart of God. Deuteronomy 27:15 curses everyone who makes a graven or molded image, and it's abomination to the Lord. The work of the hands of the craftsmen is set up in secret, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. This here is just simply setting up things that become an idol to the people. What in today's society? I don't think there's anyone here that is tempted to go out into a wood shop and make a carving and bow down to it and worship it. I mean, that to me would be like ridiculous. But there's other things we can do that becomes our idol. What is above God in our life? Only you can tell. Now, moving on to Proverbs 3:32. Now, this one here, actually shocked me here. For a perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. But his secret counsel, talking about God, is with the upright. So what is a perverse person? Does anyone here have any idea what a perverse person is that care to share? Does anyone have an idea? It is not. This here is what I have found. This is what I've found. The definition of this word. And I want you to listen to this word. Contrary, it's a person that is contrary to accepted or expected standard or practice. I was like, whoa. I witnessed this all my life. Everywhere I have been so far in my life, I have witnessed this. Is in a group, there was an accepted and standard practice, how to operate, and people intentionally violating it. That was some other meanings. Is it someone who intentionally violates the accepted or expected standard of practice? And I was like, whoa. I mean, that is an abomination to God? Because I witnessed this all my life. Didn't matter where I was at, there was a standard of practice that was in that area. And it was nothing unusual. I see it in business with the employees. Most of mine are Amish. But a lot of them are intentionally contrary to what they know they need to do. Not all of them, but there's a number of them. And I was like, wow. Because the next part of this verse here really stood out to me. But his secret counsel, this is talking about God, is with the upright. The secret counsel to me is when you don't know where to go in life and you cry to God for revelation and God gives it to you to know how to walk that season of your life. I get it all the time when I don't know which way to turn. I have no clue. It just happened to me yesterday. I have no clue which way to turn. But God was faithful and showed me. I believe that what this verse is simply saying is, if you're a person that's intentionally going against the standard practice, this revelation will not come to you. But if you're willing to uphold whatever that is, you will find the secret counsel of God. Moving on to Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that God hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, one who sows discord among the brethren. I believe that those verses are very simple. These are things that God hates. Now, the next couple of verses, it gives what God hates, but then it gives what he loves. Proverbs 11:1. Dishonest skills are abomination of the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And I commented about this earlier, and there are several more verses like that. Here's another one about the perverse heart. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in his ways are his delight. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips, and this lying keeps coming up. And this is my understanding of lying. If we are honest, it opens the door for God to work. If we are dishonest, it opens the door for Satan to work. And I came to, and I'm under the persuasion, and I could be wrong here, but the one we are most often dishonest with is ourselves. We tend to be dishonest with ourselves to say, life isn't that bad. Life is great, when in all reality, we are just majorly all caught up, and depending on the situation, we just spit out and start crying. We're not honest with ourselves. Don't expect to grow in Christ if you're dishonest with yourself. I believe it's good to share with other people what you're going through. Do not bottle it up. I beg you, if you feel your heart is shattered, don't bottle it up. Don't keep it inside. Find someone to be honest with. I'm telling you, it works all the time. And there's a little time in my life that I'll be honest with. From the ages 16 to 18 was probably some of my most lonely years of my life. And I remember a time crying out to God and saying, God, send me one friend. Some one person I can share with. And God answered that prayer. And that one friend was there. Yes, I went through many friends. And what I mean by that is, if you lived a single life, you'll understand. If you didn't, if you got married at 21, you might not understand. But if you have two guys, I'm going to talk about guys. The girls might be the same. I don't know. I'm not a girl, so I can't really relate to that. If I have two guys to lean on each other and to walk together, and you share with each other, you support yourself. Now, if that one guy starts dating, you might as well go find another friend. Because what happens is, instead of him leaning on you and you lean against each other and you support each other, he got someone else he's leaning on. I mean, there's so many of my friends that started dating, and yes, our friendship is going to stay the same. It's not going to change. Listen, it's not the truth. It changes every time. So if you're single and your friend starts dating, bless him, but go find someone else because it's going to be different. I speak out of experience. He was one of them right there. He was declaring it's not going to change, but it's different. It's not that it's become enemies, but it's different. And the difference, it's okay. It's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, I feel everyone needs one friend that you can dump to. If you don't have that one friend, cry to God for that, because it's too hard to go without it. Going to Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the prayers of the upright is his delight. You see the contrast? This is revealing the heart of the God. One side is the sacrifice of the wicked. They stink to God. But the prayers of those upright are his delight. Proverbs 15:9. The ways of the wicked are abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. This one here, I'm not exactly sure how to express my heart on this one here. But do we love righteousness? Do we love it? There's so much I could share here, I'm not sure how to get it out of me. On Facebook, I am not a big Facebook person as far as posting and things, but I recognize a lot of things. And over the years, I have seen one person after another walk away from simple principles that are in the Word of God. And I didn't even have to know the person, but something within me just hurt every time I saw it. Came to the point that I was asking God, do these things even matter? Is there even a point of this? Because I'm so tired of hurting. This pain is, it's old. Does it matter? Am I caring about something that's irrelevant? And the Lord taught me and to see his heart. And in his heart, this was a deep felt cry coming out of his heart that he does care. I don't think we understand the heart of God when we can just walk away from the principles that are in the Word of God. Because they're in there for our good. They're in there that display his character. And the more we can love him, and the more we love after truth, and the more we love after righteousness, the more we'll discover who God is. And I want to encourage everyone here, follow after righteousness with all you got. Love it with everything you have. Embrace it. No matter what the world around us is doing, embrace righteousness. And don't let go of it. Allow yourself to learn the heart of God that you can understand how he feels about the simple things of life. Because these things matter. Going on to Proverbs 15:26. The thoughts of the wicked are abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Again, showing the two differences. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is proud in heart is abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none shall go unpunished. I believe what this is simply saying, though a large group of people join forces and go against God, God will not allow that group to go unpunished. Proverbs 17:15. He who justifies the wicked and condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 20:10. Diverse weights and diverse measures, both are alike an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 20:23. Diverse weights are abomination to the Lord, and a dishonest skill is not good. Now I'm going to jump down to Luke 16:14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, talking about Jesus. And he said to them, "You are those who are justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. I don't know what this verse does to you. But what is highly esteemed in this world today? What are those things? I believe if I would use everyday language that we use today, I could change this up and say, whatever is in among people is abomination to the sight of God. So if we have a drive within us that craves everything that's the word in or in style, I think we need to ask the question, what is driving that? What is causing us to desire the in thing? And I can't even go into things what are in, because what's in changes all the time. So I'm not so concerned what is in as I am the desire to have what is highly esteemed among men. I know over the time, which I'm not even finished yet, of making my house, people say, yeah, that's the end thing. Don't say that stuff to me, because if it's the end thing, I almost go the opposite. Because it's just something within me just grinds to say, I'm doing it because it's the end thing. I don't care what the end thing is. I won't go the opposite, but that there will not motivate me to do something, because this here, and I'm not going to say it's wrong to do what is in, but let's check our hearts and say, is there something within us that has not died yet that is craving these things that are in? And ask God to root that out. And I believe it's not the issue as much as that desire for what is in. Is that thing of God or not? So this here, a lot of these words here are words that have more the negative or the negative side of what God don't like. But the point of it is do we understand the heart of God? Do we love the heart of God to the point that when we see that it's abomination to Him, that we will intentionally stop doing that thing, whatever it is, and go after and do what He delights in? Do we care? Or is God more someone that is distance, that, yeah, that's what He thinks, but He'll accept me anyhow? Or look at that person, they're doing, it appears they're very godly, and they're doing this thing so that it doesn't matter to me. No, our heart's got to be is what we understand God wants for us. We have to my encouragement is, let's pursue His heart. Let's embrace it, and let's live it. God bless you.